That means they can't ride an Air Force bus out to the airplane. And that means we can't use a White House telephone to call and make the reservation. We've been babysitting them, by God, for years. That means you can't have an office in the White House. And by the time we got through telling them, they came hollering help and said they didn't believe in Otten, and they made Otten come and apologize and back up. Now, I wouldn't do it revengefully or vindictively. I'd do it on the basis of quietly getting acres and find out stuff that you can let go because of budget restrictions. And if you need to, you can get the budget to cut them out for you in your proposals. Charlie Shultz will do it. But all this business of 80,000 to 100,000 newspapers and the Reader's Digest and the Life and the Time and all this crap, I'd just cut that out on the ground on the First Amendment. Somebody would charge you a subsidy.
Well, I've asked for a study on the 89,000 you spent on the New York Times. It isn't complete, but a great deal of it goes to foreign ministers, heads of posts around the world. You see, we've got a lot of offices, 200 and some offices around the world alone. And I'll find out what can be taken. This is one of the things that attracted my attention earlier.
I would just take, I'd put in others. I'd put in Life and Newsweek and Time, and I'd put in everything you do with any person affected by the First Amendment.
Right.
Radio, television. Do you do anything with the organization?
I don't think so.
ABC, NBC, you don't have any trade outs or exchanges with
none.
Them? Now, one thing that you ought to do in the, I don't know who it is in the movies, but they tell me that the thing they want more than anything else is the newest, the freshest, the best movies in Vietnam.
Yes.
They have the oldest.
They want Westerns.
And I would find out what it is, A, they want.
They want Westerns. I talked to Lodge about it. We've made arrangements for the prints to come in at $150, which is very inexpensive, the print cost. And we put in our supplemental budget a request there for films for Vietnam.
All right, I'd be sure that I found out first what they want. I don't know whether Lodge knows or not. And if you get it from the boys, now I'm getting some letters from them pointing out that they don't like what they're getting. It's old and it's not interesting. But I'd find out on a scientific basis if I had to ask them to set you up a little group to Zorinthen to tell you.
Sure,
and
questionnaire.
Give you some. And that's right. And I wouldn't do it from the big shots. I'd do it from the guys that have been out there fighting all day. Then the second, I'd go to the movie people and I'd tell them, you've just got to get it for these guys that are fighting for your lives. 100,000 of them out of 3 billion. But these 100,000, we got to serve. And you give it to us where it's right. And I would remake that wherever GI would come in and holler hallelujah. And I'd try to find some new innovations like Gordon McClendon would put in out there in the way of fast news strips, or put something around the main building where they can see the news or from home, or where they can get the broadcasts every hour or something of that general type.
You're wonderful. Gordon's coming in Wednesday on this. Talk to me.
I would also try, as best I could, they all say that this television won't work. But you can't tell me if you get a good television there and you put up a screen in every hamlet and get a few sets around, that by God, you won't knock the living hell out of them, because it'll be new and it'll be different. And if you get your own most appealing people and borrow some outstanding Vietnamese out there that could really do it, and get you a Sally, Tokyo Sally or something where you could do it, I tell you that these boys in their damn camps would have television. We could furnish them to them.
Well,
and we know what it'd do to our own morale. And we also know that when something like this happens, killing 500 today, we could run a little film like that, and we could really get to what Eisenhower's talking about on morale. And I would think that it might not be a bad idea for you and Chancellor and Bob Akers to say to Milton Eisenhower that you've been put in charge of this, and you would like to come talk to him. And the three of you go over there and drive over there to see him and get any ideas he's got, just so you get nonpartisanship. Then tell him you sure would like to hear the President Eisenhower's ideas. The President has told you that the most stimulating thing he's heard in this deal came President Eisenhower, and see if Milton would arrange someday for you all to see him. so that you can get a little bipartisanship into this thing right quick.
Well, Frank Stanton was supposed to set that up, and Frank has just been unavailable. I guess I'll have to do it on my own. But I'll do it. We have talked to the armed forces, and they can put in the television station in about 6 months. And I've got a man working on that now, getting sets. I talked to Ambassador Reischauer when he was in here last week, whether we could get 10,000 sets to the Japanese, and he said he thought he could. It'd be a contribution they'll make to the war effort. So I've got that pretty well underway, but I've got to be very cautious because Rooney is just as mean as he can be about, he said, this Congressman Chamberlain of Michigan, that stupid fool, he said, wants to put television in Vietnam. And I just held my tongue, and I said, well, maybe his ideas aren't exactly right, but we'll explore some of the ways that you can improve the information. Look, there's one other subject I wanted to mention to you. I met with Admiral Rayburn, and I pointed out to him, I was very concerned, we're not able to get into communist China with radio, and that I thought the time had come to give consideration to the equivalent of a radio for Europe. So there's a little group meeting on that as to where we would locate and how that might be done. I think that's rather high priority. It would take 2 years, probably, and when we get it done, I'll bring it up to the National Security Council, or to you, or anywhere you want it, on a memo.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that's a very vital project. One thing more, if Congress is going to...
By the way, Bartlett's being announced this morning.
Oh, good. Good.
I think it'd be good if you called him and congratulate him and tell him that he's had the most thorough investigation of anybody, even a cabinet officer. Twice as many people interviewed about him as were about you, and there wasn't a single bad one, and you think that's the damnedest record you ever heard of.
Okay. If Congress recesses or adjourns on the...
Tell him that you hope also that he knows why this happened, and because of our friendship.
Well, I told him it.
Right.
I told him on Saturday when he got home from that cruise.
Right.
He was very pleased, but I'll tell him now that it's going to be announced this afternoon.
That's
now,
at 11 o'clock this morning.
Well, I better get him a few minutes.
Yeah.
If Congress adjourns...
I've told him that it's going to, but you tell him that you heard it or something.
Okay. We've got pending before the Senate the confirmation of 760 Foreign Service officers. You recommended, Macy recommended, Crockett recommended, and the morale of this place will suffer horribly if they're not confirmed. Claiborne Pell and Hickenlooper are against it because they think the Foreign Service should be silk-stocking. None of these newspaper, radio people, or information people have the qualifications to be Foreign Service officers. I talked to Mansfield about it. He said he'll try to get it through near the end, but I think if you sort of made a mental note and prod them a little, it would help me tremendously. Your morale is my biggest question.
All right, can't you find some Republicans over there that can go and talk to Dirksen?
I'll try, but Mansfield's the one who's got to bring it up on the counter, I think.
Mansfield's got to, but he doesn't bring up things if Dirksen's against him, and particularly if Hickenlooper's against him. First thing he'd do is say, I want to bring this up tomorrow, and Dirksen say, no, Hickenlooper's against it, and hold it back. And he'd do it just like he did the Russian treaty. Mm-hmm. So you have to get both of them, and I'd get fine some Republicans I had in the outfit. And I know Ms. Chandler could do it if she would, or Stanton could do it if he would, or... but if...
I could get Aiken to do a little work for us at 12
months. Yes, I think Aiken could, and, I'd sure get somebody that's strong with
it. Okay. All right, well, I'll work on that, and I'll get that done. Very good, sir. Have you seen the supplemental that has come in?
No.
Well, we have something in for Vietnam that'd be absolutely necessary. I hope we don't run into opposition on that. Zorkin tells me he just needs those people very, very badly. He needs them as of yesterday.
Well, find out where you're going to save them, because we're going to, first place that we spend anywhere, we're going to find out how much they can save other places. So that's what I was looking at last night. You're going to have a budget of 15 to 20 billion deficit. And we just got to cut out what we're doing in a lot of places.
Well, now, this supplemental has $9 million for facilities. Seven of which had previously been approved by the Congress, and the money turned back because the government of Thailand refused to give them the land. Well, they've just concluded an agreement with the government of Thailand. It took a month for the ambassador and our general counsel. And unless...
I didn't think that they could do that without Carl Rowan going out there. That's what he told me. He's the only one they'd sign it with.
Well, it's a lot of nonsense. I saw the papers. And the ambassador did it, and the general counsel did it. We cabled them permission to sign it without somebody from Washington okaying it. We got on the cable here. I read the agreement. I thought it was a damn good agreement. And I said, go ahead and sign it. So that's all done. But that's $7.6 million of the $9 million. The other is for transportable equipment into the Philippines so we can get a signal out of there, 50-kilowatt transmitters. You can't cut out operations to take care of capital investment of that nature. And I don't
you
know
sound
how much
like
I can
do it, man, right?
No,
there.
No, no.
You're already starting what
now,
you
now, wait a minute. I'm just starting to say I can't cut $9 million out of an operating budget before I'm even over there.
No, but I can. And if you can't do it, I can. That's what I got to do. I've got this down. What we did this year, we had $99 billion. That's our budget. It's going to run 106. So the Congress is going to say, God damn, this deceptive, hypocritical so-and-so is $7 billion over. Now then, next year, with the commitments, the legislation we passed, the firm things like medical care and other things that have got to go, it's going to run up to 118, and it's going to be a deficit of 12 or 14 or 50. So it's just going to be murdered. So I just said, send it back here, and don't send me any estimates. We just have to do it out. I've got to find ways to reduce this. That's why I started out telling you, get your task force and see how many libraries you've got in Lord Chesterfield home in London.
Well, there aren't going to be any when I'm through.
Well, that's right. Get your task force and see how many papers and magazines that you delivered to every guy that feels like he's a big shot, and tell him instead to read his ticker. If the president can get his stuff off the ticker, there's no reason why some little USIA officer can't get it. I don't care how many officers they got. And I'd see where they didn't want my offices and where they're burning them and how many I could consolidate them. You're going to be remembered by not on how much you increased your payroll, but how much you reduced it.
I know. I'm closing down the Burmese operation the day I get in, save 40 locals and 5 Americans. I talked to the Burmese ambassador the other night when you had us on the boat. And I said, you know, we've waited 16 months for you to give us permission to reopen the library. Those people have been on the payroll and haven't done anything. He said, well, we can't do this because if we give you permission, the communists will come in. I talked to the Secretary of State about it, and he says, well, close them if that's the way you feel. Go ahead, but I'm going to save 45 jobs the day I walk in here. On that alone, I would not have waited 16 months had I been head of this agency to close that down. But I can't do it until September 1.
That's a good starter, and I'll see you and hurry up and get in there and let's go to work.
September 1, and you're going to swear me in on August 31.
Yes, and I'll
look
stay
forward.
Off that goddamn telephone. I'm calling my friends, telling them what you want them to do.
All right.
Mister, you know better than that. And,
well, how am I going to pay my income tax unless I make some money?
Well, you're not, your income, you told me that you didn't care about money, and you made that, and I thought that settled when you went over it. You told me that you were going to call for Dave Lawrence, Drew Pearson, and around and start telling networks what they ought to do, right? Or kick your little ass until your nose bled. I didn't know you was that kind of business. I thought you were out there.
Now listen, I took care of Jesse Kelham and wound up what I had to do for him, and I'm doing everything. I'm going to fulfill my moral obligations. And then you
well, you haven't got any obligation to do something like that.
Well, it was perfectly proper. I didn't tell him. I asked him if there was a policy,
Ed,
but
what?
I'll straighten it up.
No, you don't straighten it out. You just forget it.
I'll
you
forget
just,
it.
You've done enough now.
I'll
you don't tell it. Another human. That was under our contract.
Okay. I won't tell anybody, but Eddie won't have to do a thing.
Well, I've already told him.
Okay.
I told him I never heard of it. He said, why, you mean that Leonard, your USIA man's calling up here wanting a commentator put on a network, and you never heard of it? I wouldn't think he'd dare do something like that. I said, well, he ain't got that to eat. Normally, a man wouldn't. He'd want the president to know about it and say, do you want to put David Lawrence on or Drew Pearson? Somebody, he'd want his judgment, but not Leonard. He's got private deals.
I love Eddie, but he's not the most astute man. If he came to that conclusion, you pull my leg and I won't do it. Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.